President Bush is being encouraged not to attend the opening ceremony of the Beijing Olympic Games because of China's crackdown on Tibetans' religious freedom. Is that what he should do? And is a total U.S. boycott of the Games in order? We'll talk about it. And we'll get an update on global warming. This is Jerry Johnson live from Criswell College. Join us as we look at today's news from the Christian worldview for Christ and culture.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
I have a dream.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
We will not tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail.
Welcome to Jerry Johnson Live. For the next hour, this is your place for relevant discussion of topics in the news and in our culture from a Christian perspective. Your host is Dr. Jerry Johnson, president of Criswell College and Criswell Communications. Later in the show, we'll open the toll-free lines for your questions and comments. You may also email us at talk@jerryjohnsonlive.com. Now, here's your host, Dr. Jerry Johnson.
The yeas are 413, the nays are 1.
All right, that's Congressman John Sarbanes announcing the House vote approving a resolution that criticizes China for its crackdown in Tibet. Many people saying we should boycott the Olympics or at least boycott the opening. The United States Commission on International Religious Freedom urged President Bush not to attend the opening ceremony. We're going to talk to the vice chairman of that committee, Dr. Richard Land, in about 15 minutes. You don't want to miss that. But there's a headline. 2008, the year that the world will cool down.
Early this morning, Hurricane Katrina slammed into New Orleans.
Is it possible that we should prepare against other threats besides terrorists?
All right, that's Al Gore. And, of course, he's still saying that there's a planetary global emergency. But breaking news in the last week, 2008, the year that the world will cool down. That's according to the Daily Mail. I'm looking at the article right now. But let's bring in our regular expert on this topic, Mark Morano. He's Communications Director for the U.S. Senate on the Environment and Public Works. Mark, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Jerry. Happy to be here.
Mark, what do we make of some, I mean, the last week or two, we've had story after story really refuting Gore and his hysteria.
Yeah, it's not just story, but it's actually scientists, and it's actually peer-reviewed studies, and it's actually temperature monitoring stations. We're seeing everything from the oceans are cooling to Antarctica having one of the lowest seasonal melts in decades. We're seeing the ice reform significantly back in the Arctic. We're seeing predictions now that this year will be global cooling, continuing that trend.
Wow.
We're seeing Richard Lindzen of MIT scientists come out and say we haven't had significant warming since 1995, and our high point was 1998, and there's actually been slight cooling in recent times. So, again, this is seasonal. I mean, it's short. It's a short time frame, but when you look at the whole picture, you find there is no real correlation between CO2 and temperature. Even Gore's famous chart, temperature went up first, followed by CO2. And if you look at the 20th century, we had the warmest decade in the United States in the 1930s, before 80% of man-made CO2 went in. So the climate alarmists, and you played Al Gore there, the chief among them, are running a little bit scared right now, to the point where even the head of the UN is going to investigate the apparent, quote, temperature plateau.
All right, you mentioned Gore. Let's hear him again.
Okay. If you look at the 10 hottest years ever measured, they've all occurred in the last 14 years. And the hottest of all was 2005.
Okay, Mark, they are still playing. They are playing this movie in colleges and in high schools. Is that claim true?
Well, absolutely not. Well, let me. It's an interesting claim. First of all, they're actually playing it in elementary schools. I know my nephew's in at 12 years old, they're playing it in his elementary school. When they say it's the hottest years ever measured and they use it 2005, first of all, that's based on NASA studies. And it's not, and it's a global temperature. There's about four global temperature averages. The one the United Nations uses, the one that's accepted internationally generally, is the one the United Nations uses. It's based in East Anglia, and they show 1998 is the warmest. But a couple things you need to realize. We're coming out of a little ice age that peaked around 1850. So when they say it's the hottest years on record, like Gore says, he means that it's about one of the warmest times in the last 100, 150 years coming out of the Little Ice Age. But the key there, and this is what they don't tell you, is if you go back further to the medieval warm period, you find that not only the northern hemisphere but the southern hemisphere, multiple peer-reviewed studies show that the globe was much warmer, up to 0.3 degrees Celsius or warmer than today. The Roman warming period around the time of Christ was even warmer than today. So when you look at it from cyclical point of view, and another study out of Sweden that showed the Arctic cooled over the last 1,500 years, and of course the high point of the Arctic temperatures was the 1930s, again, before all this came out. But you will always hear that these are the hottest years on record. All it means, it's a pretty warm year compared to the Little Ice Age. But if you look at the temperatures globally, we're talking about, as Richard Lindzen said, a few tenths of a degree. And there's never been so much hoopla made out of these few tenths of a degree.
All right, folks, we're talking to Mark Morano. He's Communications Director for the U.S. Senate Committee on the Environment and Public Works. You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Mark, let's listen again to Al Gore.
I think we should immediately freeze CO2 emissions in the United States of America and then begin a program of sharp reductions to reach at least 90% reductions by 2050.
All right, Mark, you're leading for the Senate their study when it comes to environment and public works. What's wrong with this kind of rhetoric?
Well, first of all, it's not doable. There's no current technology to make it happen. Even if you did, every single credible climate proposal that's come out in 2.5 decades of fear would not have a detectable impact on the climate, assuming Al Gore is right in the science. And that means that if the Kyoto Protocol were fully enacted, no detectable impact. It means that the Lieberman-Warner bill coming up here were fully enacted, no detectable impact. It's pure symbolism for real economic pain. Al Gore is just fantasy land to talk about those kind of numbers. It's not going to happen. We are at a point now where we're moving forward with technology. We're getting cleaner energy. We've had a population huge advances since 1970. But meanwhile, we've had cleaner air and cleaner water. CO2 is not a pollutant. And when you look around the globe, we're finding everywhere from Australia, New Zealand, India, China, all the developing world is rejecting carbon emissions. Europe is collapsing trying to stop this. The only sure way the U.S. has reduced emissions in recent years has been a recession. And it looks like we may have a year this year where emissions are reduced. But there's nothing wrong with CO2 emissions. We exhale it out of our mouth. He's got people believing that somehow CO2 is a pollutant, that it's something to do with the pollution and black lung. It's not. This is something that is vital to life. It's part of photosynthesis.
Yeah, I think I learned that in elementary school science. Hey, Mark, let's listen to one more Al Gore.
We do not have time to play around with this. We do not have the luxury of making it a political football and exercising politics as usual.
All right, Mark, he's urging immediate action. He says, we must act now. And here's my question. Ted Turner was on Charlie Rose a few days ago, CNN founder Ted Turner. He said, look, this is going to be catastrophic. Those who don't die will be cannibals. What do you make of that kind of alarmist rhetoric?
Well, it's silly, and it should be broadcast far and wide, and your school children should be told about it. We should all have a good chuckle. No one should take it.
Shame on you.
Go ahead. I think Hillary Clinton was trying to butt in on you there.
But the key, when Al Gore talks about we need to do stuff immediately, you'll hear James Hansen say that Europe 10 years ago in 1997 signed the Kyoto Protocol, and then they ratified it a few years back. it's meaningless. They're not meeting it. So when people say we must do something, it just means they must sign treaties, they must turn over large sectors of our economy over to the federal government. For again, even if you believe them, no climate benefit. I always like to say, if we were facing a climate catastrophe and the United Nations, Al Gore, and the United States, you know, Congress's proposals were our only hope, we'd all be doomed. There's not been a credible proposal. They'll say we need an insurance policy. Well, let me ask you and your listeners, would you buy a home insurance policy that had a huge upfront premium, and then if your house ever burned down, would have virtually no payout whatsoever? Any premium like that would be investigated for insurance fraud. That is what Al Gore is peddling. The bottom line is, as you move forward, and carbon-based economies have been one of the greatest liberators of mankind, but every source of energy has, you know, has its day. And it's clear we're moving forward technologically. We're advancing. We're getting cleaner energy all the time. There's all kinds of alternatives. You don't want to turn over huge sectors of our economy to the government, have a managed economy, as they're trying to do right now in the Senate. They're going to have a carbon board federally appointed that some people are saying is going to be the biggest pork expansion, over $1 trillion in money coming to Washington, D.C., to be divvied out to businesses. And guess which businesses will get this money? It's going to be the ones that have the best lobbyists and the best wow. access to politicians. This is not a good development for America.
Well, hopefully some of this new science, some of this new peer-reviewed literature will make it out and get some traction. Thank you so much, Mark Morano, Communications Director for the U.S. Senate Committee on the Environment and Public Works. We'll have you back soon.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. It felt like I was debating Al Gore, something he refuses to actually do.
That's right. All right, folks, I want to remind you here, I have in my hand from the BBC a headline, Global Warming Dips This Year. It dipped last year. It dipped the year before. They don't tell you it's been dipping now for 4 or 5 years. Actually, according to BBC, I quote, global temperatures have not risen since 1998. That is, for the last 10 years, we've been cooling, we've been cooling, we've been cooling. Again, the BBC, within the last week, releasing that story. Again, from the Daily Mail. 2008, the year the world will cool down. I remind you that about a week and a half ago, we had Dr. Roy Spencer on the program, who's written the book, Climate Confusion. This man holds the PhD in this discipline. And he says, we're a victim of global warming hysteria. Now, I want you to listen once again to some sound from CNN, where you have a report about a judge in England that basically outlawed Al Gore's movie in the schools in England because of 8 or 9 mistakes, unless the teachers say that the show has major mistakes or the program has major mistakes. And you hear the weatherman responding to the news reader reading this story. Listen carefully.
The case stems from a father who accused the government of brainwashing kids with propaganda by showing Gore's film in the classroom. Schools may have to issue a warning before they show students the controversial movie about global warming.
Finally, somebody.
So you don't agree?
Oh, there are definitely some inaccuracies. And, you know, the Oscars, they give out awards for fictional films as well. Well, the biggest thing I have a problem with is his implication that Katrina was caused by global warming. And there's a number of studies that have been out, and they're really, the jury's still out. Global warming does not conclusively cause stronger hurricanes like we've seen.
All right, that's the weatherman on CNN basically saying that Al Gore's claims are bogus. Finally, a judge in a court says so as well. Well, what's the biblical take on this? Well, you go back to Genesis 1 and you know that God gave Adam and Eve a charge of dominion. They were to keep and attend the garden. Of course, when sin entered, problems came. The earth was cursed, and we've been having good and bad weather, natural disasters ever since. And Romans chapter 8 says the whole creation is groaning and travailing until the return of Christ. So that's the Christian worldview when it comes to the climate. When we come back, the torch is being doused all over the world, the Olympic torch. Why? Because of China's abysmal human rights record. We're going to talk with Dr. Richard Land. He's vice chairman of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. He says, his commission says, President Bush should not attend the opening ceremony. Should we boycott the Olympics? Let's talk about it with Dr. Land when we come back.
For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness?
No partnership.
Or what fellowship has light with darkness?
No partnership.
Or what harmony has Christ with Belial or Satan?
No partnership.
Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? And the answer to those is negative.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to a very special event. Friday night, April 18th, we'll be at Crossroads Christian Church in Grand Prairie.
Friday night, April 18th, it's an evening with John MacArthur.
I love the fact he is called the living God.
Don't forget, April 18th, 7:30 p.m., an evening with John MacArthur.
And you, our faithful Criswell Communications family. Why? Just to say thank you for your faithful support of this radio ministry. From San Angelo or Texoma or even in the Metroplex, you're invited to this evening with John MacArthur.
The Spirit lives within us. The Spirit of Christ, the living God, dwells in us.
April 18th at 7:30, an evening with John MacArthur.
A free gift from our family to yours on CRN.
You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Now, here's your host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, president of Criswell College and Criswell Communications.
The yeas are 413, the nays are one.
All right, that's Congressman John Sarbanes. He's announcing the House has overwhelmingly approved a resolution that criticizes China for the crackdown in Tibet. That was 413 votes, yes, one voting no. And here's the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
We would hope to see some improvement in the attitude of the Chinese government, whether it's negotiating with His Holiness the Dalai Lama, with stopping the crackdown in Tibet, allowing the press and independent monitors in to see what's happening there.
All right, she says there's always the Dalai Lama. Let's hear him.
Autonomy? Just a name. Not sincerely implemented on the spot. Therefore, Tibetan in all these different areas of autonomy, full resentment.
All right, full resentment. That's right. The Tibetans resent China and China resents Tibet. Well, their crackdown on Tibet is causing the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom to urge President Bush not to attend the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games. We have the vice chairman of that committee, Dr. Richard Land, with us. Dr. Land is also the president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. You can also hear him every day right here on KCBI. Dr. Land, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Jerry. It's good to be with you.
All right. Tell us about this decision of your commission.
Well, we urge the president to join Chancellor Merkel of Germany and probably President Sarkozy of France and other world leaders in boycotting the opening ceremonies of the Olympics unless there is substantial improvement of the Chinese government in their behavior toward the Tibetan dissidents and the dissidents in their own country. The Chinese desperately wanted to have the Olympics as a way of saying we're in the first rank of nations now, we are accepted in the world community. And they need to understand that when they behave in this thuggish and brutal fashion toward dissidents in Tibet and in their own country, they are not going to be accorded that kind of recognition. And so I would join the commission in urging the president to say, you know, I'm not coming unless there is substantial improvement between now and August, because the Chinese will feel a tremendous loss of faith if the other world leaders whose approval they so desperately crave boycott the opening ceremonies.
Now, Dr. Land, you're looking at human rights up and down the line with China. It's not just about Tibet. I saw that Steven Spielberg was set to co-produce the opening ceremony. He pulled out because of China and the Sudan. Could you talk about other human rights concerns that we ought to have with China?
Well, I've had the privilege of visiting in China, visiting in Tibet. I've been to Tibet. I've been to the Dalai Lama's former palace there in Lhasa, Tibet. And when you're in Tibet, it's clear that you're in a police state. Chinese presence and the Chinese oppression is heavy, and you can feel it. But it's also present in China itself, and particularly when it comes to religious dissidents. And the suppression of the Tibetan dissidents is largely related to religion. They want to try to stamp out Buddhism and the Dalai Lama's leadership, and want to make basically Tibet a colony of China. Now, when it comes to the Sudan, the Chinese government is doing deals with and providing support for the thugocracy that masquerades as a government in Sudan, that enables the Sudanese to continue their slow genocide in Darfur against the Darfurians, where they've killed over 500,000 people. And I'm sure that what Spielberg is saying is, unless the Chinese agree to cut their assistance to and their deals with the Sudan, without which the Sudanese government would be in a very hard way to continue, he's not going to cooperate with them in any way, shape, or form. And I say, good for Steven Spielberg.
Dr. Richard Land is president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. He also serves on a U.S. Commission for International Religious Freedom. And we're talking about the Olympics hosted by China. Should we boycott the Olympics? Let me ask you that question, Dr. Land, because we're talking about the opening ceremony and governments boycotting the ceremony. Have y'all taken any position on the Olympic Games themselves?
No, we have not. And my position would be that we should boycott advertising in the Olympics, that American firms and American corporations should boycott advertising. That would cost the Chinese a lot of money. But I would not boycott the athletic contest. The athletes have worked hard and dedicated themselves for years, and I would not want to see our athletes deprived of the ability to compete.
Maybe we can beat them like we beat the Germans when Hitler had the Olympics.
Well, I think...
Root for the U.S. teams.
That's right. That's right. I just think that if American tourists don't go and American sponsors don't sponsor and American leaders don't appear at the opening ceremonies, and our athletes compete, that will be a significant blow to the Chinese.
Dr. Land, a final question. How do you feel the Chinese government is doing in their treatment of Christians right now?
It's not as bad as it was. It's not as bad as it was under the Soviet Union. It's not as bad as it was 20 years ago or even 10 years ago in China, but it's not what it should be. It's still oppressive and it's capricious. The Chinese Christians, it depends on the whim of the government official they're dealing with, and it's unacceptable.
Dr. Richard Land, president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. You can hear him every day, Monday through Friday, on KCBI, also on Saturday. Dr. Land, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. We'll have you back soon. All right, folks, we're going to open up the lines, 800-881-9270. Here's my question. Now, Dr. Land was not willing to say, let's boycott the Olympics, but I want to ask you that question. Should we boycott these Olympics? The number is 800-881-9270. Dr. Land said, hey, we shouldn't punish the athletes. They've planned, they've prepared, and they've trained. You know, this only comes around every so many years, and do we want them to miss a cycle? But are we legitimizing this repressive regime by participating in the Olympics? The number is 800-881-9270, or you can email me at talk@jerryjohnsonlive.com. Now, here's another question I want you to answer. I'm looking here at this torch that's going around. They have trained some thugs. These are Chinese thugs that they're called flame guards, and they've been chosen based upon their toughness. And they travel with that flame in every country. Now, Japan has said, if you come through here, you don't bring your thugs with you. You just carry the flame. Now, what's happening is everywhere they take this flame, people are trying to throw water on it. They're trying to grab it. The Paris torch relay was cut short. because of chaotic protests by these anti-Chinese demonstrators. Now, here's a question I have for you. If the torch was coming through Dallas, would you protest? Would you turn out for a protest? Would you try to douse it? What do you think? Our response should be towards China. The way they persecute Christians, the way they're cracking down on the Tibetans, the way they participate in the Sudan, in the genocide over there. Well, we want your response. 800-881-9270. We've got Tyler on the line from Arlington. Tyler, what do you think?
Good afternoon, Dr. Johnson. I have to agree with Dr. Land. I think that the athletes, because the window for competition in the Olympics for most events is so small, I think that they should still go and compete. However, I think the corporations should not sponsor things other than our athletes going over there. I don't think we should have much news coverage. I don't think any of our leaders should show up. And if the torch came through Dallas, I don't think we should protest at all. In fact, I don't think we should even show up for it.
Okay.
I think it would cause more of a loss of face if no one paid attention than if we showed up and complained.
All right. Thank you, Tyler. So there's one vote there for having the Olympics. That is, we participate. We don't penalize our athletes, but we don't go to that opening ceremony, and U.S. companies ought not to advertise. We've got Y on the line from Dallas. Y, what do you think? Y, you're on the air. Well, why not? Let's go to Anna from Grand Prairie. Anna on the line, what's your view?
Hi. Well, as an athlete supporter and as a Christ follower, obviously, you know, it's a difficult situation because of China and what's going on over there. But I really would not protest the Olympic torch coming through, because what it symbolizes is athleticism. You know, excellence, and our athletes are participating, and it is showing support to them and other athletes in other worlds, regardless of where the Olympics are going to be. I love the opportunity that it's going to be there, because as Christians, we're going to be able to have that country in much more deeper prayer. We're going to be in deeper prayer for them and what's going on there. We're going to be more focused in our prayer time for our, not just our athletes, but all the others that
Well, let's do that, Anna.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We're almost out of time, but we're going to keep the line open, 800-881-9270. China hosting the Olympics. Should we boycott the entire games or just the opening ceremony? You call in. Maybe we ought to encourage competition the way Jesse Owens exposed Hitler's goofy racial superiority theory in the Berlin games. And maybe just root for our team to really whip the Chinese in the games. What do you think of that? Well, 800-881-9270. And what's the Christian view of this? Let's talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Now here's your host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, president of Criswell College and Criswell Communications.
Should we boycott the Olympics in China? Should we boycott the opening ceremony? Hugh Jia, age 34, convicted Thursday, a human rights advocate, sentenced to 3.5 years in China to prison. Why? He wrote a critical essay about the Communist Party. Well, they cracked down. There's no free speech over there. And they want to crack down on the Olympic boss. The International Olympic Committee president, Jacques Roguet, said the games are in crisis. He's telling the Chinese to get their human rights record improved before August. And China has fired back at him to say he ought to keep out of politics and just run the Olympics. Of course, they can't send him to prison. But they're not used to this kind of give and take. They're not used to the freedom of speech that we enjoy here in America and we enjoy in the West. What do you think? Should we boycott these Olympics? Should we boycott the opening ceremony? We've got Deborah on the line from Stephenville. Deborah, what's your view?
As far as any type of protest, I would first ask, what instances in the Bible do we have to give us as a guideline of how and when to protest against the government?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. And I think the issue of the persecution of Christians. You don't see Christians protesting Rome. You don't see Christians protesting the fact that they were being persecuted in Jerusalem. So I think it's very hard to find in the New Testament any kind of a protest motif. But these Christians did not live in a democracy. They lived in a top-down government, and there was no freedom to protest. Really, it's more than a question of protest, Deborah. It's a question of participation. And that may be, you know, I use the word protest. It's really about
participation. Were there Christians who were participating in the Olympics?
Well,
at that time, I would assume there were. Or athletes who came to follow Christ.
Mm-hmm. So I think the question is one of participation. If we're talking about the games themselves, should the United States government, that's the question, should the government participate in the Olympic opening ceremony? Should the government participate, you know, and in the games themselves? It's probably a second and separate question to say, you know, as Christians, what should we do? And as Christians, you know, are we going to watch the games? Are we going to boycott them on our television? Would you think, Deborah, that in any case there are things that Christians ought to protest? I guess that's what we ought to back up and ask. Should Christians boycott anything?
Yeah, what is our role in protesting, I guess? Because we assume that we should, and I guess the first question I ask is, well, if we should we? And what are the guidelines for that? Because there don't seem to be any.
Yeah, I think, Deborah, you know, Jesus said we're to be salt and we're to be light. So I think when we have freedom of speech like we do here in the United States, and certainly freedom of the purse and the television remote control, I think Christians, you know, can vote with their pocketbook, vote with their wallet, vote with their remote control.
No, I'm not
going to
watch it.
And that they can decide, I'm not going to be a part of that. So that's sort of the way you would protest. And the president could say, I'm not going to the opening ceremony. But in terms of, you know, Christians saying, you know, as Christians, we're shutting down these games, that's probably not something you would find in the Bible. All right, let's move on to Chris in Fort Worth. Chris, thank you for calling. What's your view?
Well, my personal opinion is... this isn't a Christian event. However, as Christians, we have an obligation to not line ourselves up with those points of views if it goes against what we believe.
Well, I think that's good, Chris. I go back again to the principle of salt and light. You know, Christians were involved, and we've just been remembering Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement. Many Christians said, look, we're going to march together just to send a message to government and to say, you know, that this segregation enforced by law, it's immoral, it's unethical, and we protest it. Peaceful demonstration. So certainly not going to the games, not participating in the games, that's not a violent response. We're talking here about sponsorship. Should we be a part of sponsoring this event, participating in the event? It's that kind of protest. We've got Annette on the line from Weatherford. Annette, what do you think of this?
Well, we are supposed to be salt and light to the earth. And if we keep ourselves from going to these different events that don't necessarily line up with our moral beliefs, are we not doing the exact opposite of those that have been martyred as Christians, because they are being martyred for mixing themselves in with people that have different beliefs than they do? And by doing so, who exactly is winning? Aren't we losing for trying to make a statement instead of having the impact that we should have on others?
Mm. Hey, thanks, Annette. You know, I'm looking here at a news story that says, you know, the athletes that have Tibetan flags as a political statement, they're going to be cut by the Olympic Committee. They're not going to allow any sending of messages by these athletes, whatever country they're from. They're not going to allow them to stand in solidarity with the Tibetans. I've also read that athletes are not going to be allowed to carry Bibles into the Olympic Hotel. They will not be allowed to have Bibles in the Olympic Hotel. So China cracking down. But I would certainly think those who are working the Olympics, and I know for many years Christians in the U.S. have gone to the Olympic Games because they see it as a place where they can pass out tracts and do evangelism, international evangelism, to people from all kinds of countries and language groups. So certainly I think there's a place to do missionary activity, and I would certainly endorse that. I think the question, though, is, are we going to legitimize this repressive regime? How can we let them know we don't believe in what they're doing as they persecute Christians, crack down in Tibet, support the genocide in the Sudan? We've got Jessica on the line from Plano. Jessica, thank you for calling. What's your view?
You know, I just wanted to point out that no matter what you do at the Olympics, you're still going to hurt the athletes, whether it's missing the opening ceremonies or not, whether it's sponsorship. Those athletes rely on those sponsorships to get to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter. I think that this is a decision that should have been made when they decided to have the Olympics in China.
Yes,
we should have been more vigilant on it.
Yes.
We should pay attention to where the Olympics are going to be from now on. It doesn't matter what we do now. We're going to hurt the athletes no matter what.
I do agree with you about half of what you said there, Jessica, because the U.S. government could have done much more to shame China in the process and to see that they were disqualified in the process. But because of business interest in the United States and their influence in the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, our government leaders did not speak out like they should have during that process. Well,
exactly.
I'm hoping that as we participate, it looks like we are going to participate. I'm hoping we see something like we saw, for our country and our way of life. I hope we see something like we saw when the U.S. hockey team beat the Russians in the Olympics. Or again, when Jesse Owens won the great victory in the Berlin Olympics, because the Soviet regime, very oppressive. The Nazi regime, very oppressive. And we went in and we had kind of a moral victory there, right in the lion's den. I hope we can do that again, and I'm pulling for our people. But I do believe that the president ought to boycott that opening ceremony. I believe that. I think that sponsors ought to boycott it. I think Steven Spielberg was right to say, I'm not going to be a part of glorifying the Chinese setting and culture and way of life because their government is so repressive. I think that was a good move. You know, you might ask, well, what does this have to do with a biblical worldview? Well, again, it goes all the way back to Genesis 1. We talk about this time and time again on this program. We begin at the beginning. And Genesis 1 says, God created us in His image. Every human being is an imager of God. Every human being bears the image of God. And there's worth, there's dignity, there's value. There are rights that come with being a human being made in God's image. In fact, Genesis 9:6 links the prohibition on murder with the fact that we are created in God's image. So that's the linkage God puts on human life. You don't take human life because all human beings are made in God's image. And our Declaration of Independence says it very clearly. It's a self-evident truth that we have been endowed by the Creator with inalienable rights. Among these, the right to life, the right to liberty, that's freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of worship, the right to liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That means you get to pick your own job and make your own way and choose your own profession. You may not succeed, doesn't guarantee happiness, but the pursuit of happiness. The Chinese government stands against that. They're not for the pursuit of happiness, and they're not for liberty, and they do not recognize the fundamental right to life. Well, when we come back, we'll take any more calls you might have on this. And Hillary Clinton making fun, making a joke, out of a misleading statement that she made about being under sniper fire when she went to Bosnia. Should we elect someone like that as president of the United States? We'll talk about it when we return.
For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness?
No partnership.
Or what fellowship has light with darkness?
No partnership.
Or what harmony has Christ with Belial or Satan?
No partnership.
Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? And the answer to those is negative.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to a very special event. Friday night, April 18th, we'll be at Crossroads Christian Church in Grand Prairie.
Friday night, April 18th, it's an evening with John MacArthur.
I love the fact he is called the living God.
Don't forget, April 18th, 7:30 p.m., an evening with John MacArthur.
And you, our faithful Criswell Communications family. Why? Just to say thank you for your faithful support of this radio ministry. From San Angelo or Texoma or even in the Metroplex, you're invited to this evening with John MacArthur.
The Spirit lives within us. The Spirit of Christ, the living God, dwells in us.
April 18th at 7:30, an evening with John MacArthur.
A free gift from our family to yours on CRN.
You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Now, here's your host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, president of Criswell College and Criswell Communications.
I remember landing under sniper fire. There was supposed to be some kind of a greeting ceremony at the airport, but instead we just ran with our heads down to get into the vehicles to get to our base.
All right. Should we elect a liar as president of the United States? How many lies do you have to tell before you are a liar? Can a liar become president? Can a liar get into heaven? Well, Hillary Clinton said that when she landed in Bosnia, she was under sniper fire. Later, we saw the video where, well, there wasn't any sniper fire there, and there were children and so forth. But she's turned it into a joke. Here she is on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno deciding to make a joke out of it all.
It is so great to be here. You know, I was worried I wasn't going to make it.
Oh,
yeah, I was pinned down by sniper fire.
Really? Right out
here? Should we be laughing about that, though? Was this a calculated lie that caught up with her? Here's her husband. Whatever the meaning of is Bill Clinton, and he is trying to explain it away.
I got tickled the other day when a lot of the way this whole campaign's been covered has amused me, but there was a lot of fulminating because Hillary, one time late at night when she was exhausted, misstated and immediately apologized for it, what happened to her in Bosnia in 1995. Y'all see all that? All they blew it up, you thought, well, let me just tell you, the president of Bosnia and General Wesley Clark, who was there making peace where we lost three peacekeepers, who had to ride on a dangerous mountain road because it was too dangerous for them to go the regular safe way, both defended her. Because they pointed out that when her plane landed in Bosnia, she had to go up to the bulletproof part of the plane in the front. Everybody else had to put their flak jackets underneath the seat in case they got shot at. And everywhere they went, they were covered by Apache helicopters. So they just abbreviated the arrival ceremony.
All right, that's enough of that. But that's just like Bill Clinton, always trying to explain away something. Hillary Clinton said they were under sniper fire. Actually, they were not. Here's another lie right here. Senator Clinton's been telling the story that in rural Ohio, there's a woman making a minimum wage local pizza shop. The woman was uninsured. She became pregnant. She ran into trouble, went to a hospital at a nearby county hospital. She was denied treatment because she did not have $100 to pay to get in. In her speeches, Mrs. Clinton said the woman was later taken to the hospital by ambulance and lost the baby. Later, the woman was taken by helicopter to a Columbus hospital where she died of complications. That is the story. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Folks have looked into this, and it turns out that she went to the Oblenis Memorial Hospital in Athens, Ohio. The hospital says the woman did have insurance. She did have insurance, and she was not turned away. And Mrs. Clinton has now taken this speech, or this story, out of her standard stump speech. Another lie? I guess you be the judge on that. I guess we're kind of used to politicians lying. If they'll lie about sniper fire, lie about someone dying that didn't have insurance, will they lie when they make a pledge about taxes or the military or some other kind of a policy? Again, this gets to the character question. Or would you elect a liar as president of the United States? But what does the Bible say about lying? Lying is a serious thing. And the book of Revelation, chapter 21, this is the ultimate judgment here. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and here's the last category, all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So I guess there's one question. Can a liar become president? Well, probably many liars have become president. But can a liar get into heaven? Have you ever told a lie? How many lies does it take to make you a liar? Well, James says, whoever keeps the whole law but breaks it in one point, the same is guilty of all. Why? Because if you commit one sin, like lying, you have rebelled against the lawgiver. It's just the same guilt as murder or stealing. And Revelation 21 says that hell will be filled with liars. Well, I am very glad to go at this point from the news to the good news, because that's what the gospel is all about. It's about good news. The fact is, the Apostle Paul says the Scripture has concluded all under sin. That means all of us are under this judgment for our sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The wisest man that ever lived in the world, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes, says, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We have all sinned. Lying, stealing, sexual immorality, and certainly not loving God, not honoring God like we ought. And the penalty for that sin is death. It is judgment. It is hell. And those are harsh words today. But that is what the Bible teaches. And the good news is, this is why Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. He fulfilled the law. He didn't break it like we do. He fulfilled the law. He had no sin debt of his own. He was not under judgment for his own life, his own sin, because he had none. But the Scripture says, he who knew no sin, that's Jesus, became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that is, he took our sin on that cross, our hell, our judgment, and we receive his righteousness. And we get credited with his righteous record. That's the great exchange. You don't want to miss out on that. Christ died for our sins. He took the separation, the judgment, the punishment for us as a substitute. Christ died for our sins. Paul says that's the gospel according to the Scriptures. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He was seen by hundreds of people, Paul says. Hundreds of people saw him. He's alive. Jesus Christ is alive. He's ready to forgive you. He's ready to clean you. He's ready to bring you into God's family. He rules. He reigns today. He's coming again. What do you have to do? The Bible says you repent, acknowledge your need, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You just tell him, save me. Take me. I give my case and my life to you. This is Jerry Johnson Live. See you next week.
You've been listening to Jerry Johnson Live, a Christian worldview radio show. Join Dr. Jerry Johnson, president of Criswell College and Criswell Communications, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for an hour of relevant discussion of news and culture from a Christian perspective.